Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. It's time again for the Ocean State Theater Company to be here and with a presentation of Laughter on the 23rd Floor. Amy Turner is back. Welcome back, Amy.
Thanks, Mike. Always good to be here.
Great to have you with us. And Fred Sullivan is here, who's going to be appearing in the play. Welcome, Fred.
Hi, Mike.
When we first saw each other today, we thought we looked a little familiar to each other, but that's because we've both been around a long time, probably. You're over 30.
I am.
And been in the business for more than 5 years.
I've been working at Trinity Rep mostly for the past 30 years, so I'm familiar with Rhode Island audiences.
There you go, and that's probably where I have seen you then, at Trinity Rep, and I live right up the hill, so I look down on the theater all the time.
You look Most people look down on the theater.
And literally the actors and figuratively, let's be careful.
And we are here, Amy, with the newest production for Ocean State Theater Company and a long line of successful productions for you, both at the old location and the new beautiful theater in Warwick on Jefferson Boulevard. For those of you that aren't familiar or haven't gotten there yet, you have to get there. It's a beautiful facility. And everything's going well, Amy?
It's great. I mean, I think that starting the new year with this very funny play will really help people shake off, you know, those winter blues, as it were. And it's fun for us as a company to really come in with such a true comedy. We kind of haven't done that. And, right. You know, with this year and a half behind under our belts, you know, I felt like with Miracle on 34th Street is the first time we did a really good old-fashioned musical.
Right.
And I think this is just a flat-out comedy with
Neil
a lot
Simon.
Of heart.
Neil Simon.
Of course. So Neil Simon doesn't write anything without a little bit of heart. But it really is going to be a great deal of fun. And I'm thrilled that Fred is doing it. And I'm thrilled with the group of actors that we have. Very funny and a lot of familiar faces.
There you go. And this is going to open for previews on Wednesday and Thursday, and then opening night Friday night. And it's a great run for about 3 weeks or so. So you do have a chance, but make sure if you want to get tickets, do it early. Get the best seats you can. You can do that by going online. We'll tell you about that a little bit later. But more about Fred, and you mentioned Trinity. And just remind our audience some of the roles maybe they have seen you in.
Oh, recently, speaking of Neil Simon, I played Oscar Madison in The Odd Couple.
There you go.
And I just played Ebenezer Scrooge. We had a great sold-out run of our Christmas Carol that we've been doing for years and years. That was my 22nd production of Christmas Carol. But playing Scrooge was a unique and really rewarding experience. So, I've done 110 plays at Trinity. It's hard to rattle them all off, but everything from Falstaff to Harold Hill to Daddy Warbucks to many of the Shakespeare plays. And we do a lot of new plays there, too. But Amy called me up, and this is the first winter that I have had off in 30 years. I usually don't have January and February off from the theater, but we're doing a play that there is nobody who is my type in right now.
Good-looking guys.
Yes, no excellent actors. No, I didn't. So just teasing. But they called me up, and they offered me this fantastic role based on Sid Caesar. The character's name is Max Prince. There's always a royalty to... to anyone based on Sid Caesar. And I had known the play because it's a 20-year-old play, but I had always wanted to be in it. And Kismet, I was available. They called me up, and I was like, absolutely, try to stop me for playing that part. So we've been having a ball. They said they cast everybody they knew who was really, really funny.
Well, there
and
you
that
go.
Is true.
That's
it's a
great.
Good place to start.
It is a good place to start. We'll get to more of the rest of the cast and the show itself, but let's get a piece of music in right away. And what's this first one you've selected, Amy?
Well, we've chosen a lot of different pieces from the writers that we'll talk about in a few minutes, but we're going to start with Neil Simon, and a lot of people don't know that he also wrote the Book of Many Musicals, one of his most famous being Sweet Charity, and the most fun song, I think the audience would agree, is Big Spender, so that's what we brought for you.
Hey, Big Spender.
You walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender, good looking, so refined. Say, wouldn't you like to know what's going on in my mind? So let me get right to the point. I don't pop my cork for every guy I see. Hey, big spender! Spend a little time with me. How about a few laughs? I can show you a good time. Do you wanna have fun? Fun, fun.
How's about a few
fun laughs? Fun, laughs, fun, laughs.
I can show you a
fun
laughs. Good time.
Hey, how's about a
laugh?
I could give you some.
Are you ready for some
fun?
How would you like a
let me show you a
good time.
Hey, big spender. Hey, big spender.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender, good looking, so refined. Say, wouldn't you like to know what's going on in my mind? So let me get right to the point. I don't pop my cork for every guy I see.
How about it, palsy?
Yeah!
Hey, Big Spender, and laughter on the 23rd floor in this, the season of numbers for the Ocean State Theater. We had Miracle on 34th Street, laughter on the 23rd floor, and at the end of the season,
42nd Street.
42nd Street, of course. The season has been going well, Amy, and the first couple of productions were great. And I'm expecting this will be no different. However, it's not a musical, so we shouldn't confuse people, right? This is a play. This is not, no one's going to be singing Hey Big Spender in the show.
That is correct.
So it's a regular.
Unless it's funny, and then it's in. Well, no, I'm kidding.
I could stand up in the audience and start singing. You never know.
It is interesting, though, because as we talk a little bit about these writers, how many of them, we were discussing this a few days ago in rehearsal, how many of them are musicians? And, you know, I had a conversation with one of the other actors, Tyler Fish, about the you know, perhaps there's a really defined correlation between the timing of music and how important the beats are and the flow are and the rhythm is with comedy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just striking us that, I mean, if we kind of go through the list, Sid Caesar himself was a musician, and mm-hmm. Woody Allen was a musician, and Mel Brooks was a musician, and who else?
Mel Tolkien, the head writer.
Mel Tolkien started mm-hmm. as a musician. So I think there is something interesting about comedy and music and the importance of building to a climax, a denouement.
Timing. Which is obviously important.
Timing
in music
is everything.
As well as comedy, right. All right, so we have this play that takes place, obviously, in New York City.
Right, in 1953. And all of these writers wrote for Sid Caesar. He handpicked them. And this is kind of a fantasy version of your Show of Shows and Caesar's Hour, which took place. Your Show of Shows lasted 4 or 5 years and then was canceled. Actually, it began. The first show Sid Caesar had was called the Admiral Television Review or something like that. And it was canceled because they had to decide. It became so popular, they sold more televisions. So they had to build a new factory to make new televisions. So they pulled the plug of the money from the show. So it was the only show in history to be canceled
because
it was
too
popular.
Too
much money.
It was doing too good of a job and they pulled the plug.
Admiral Television.
Caesar was the king of comedy.
Absolutely.
And he had great, great taste mm-hmm. as far as picking his writers. So Mel Tolkien and the character you play,
Lucille Callan,
were the first. And then he kind of found Mel Brooks and kept him as a pet and paid him $50 a week out of his own pocket as kind of his personal gag man, you know. So he was kind of the king's fool. And then Carl Reiner was added and
Larry Gelbart.
Who wow. is famous for Tootsie and MASH and A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. And so American comedy was kind of in this incubator. They all learned how to have the shape of a joke, the style of it. You talk mm-hmm. about rhythm and timing,
right.
So important. They all fed off each other because we know anybody who plays sports or anybody who acts, you get better when you work with people who are better than you. And mm-hmm. everybody mm-hmm. in that room was just challenging each other to be, you know, to create the
sure.
perfect shtick.
Absolutely. And I imagine Neil Simon must have looked back on that time, as I think a lot of these people did. And when you're in that magic moment, I'm not sure you're really aware of it, but I imagine mm-hmm. in my mm-hmm. mind that Neil Simon looked back and was like, that was so incredibly special. I need to memorialize it and remember it in some way. And that's poof, where this show came from.
There you go. This next piece of music is I'll Never Fall in Love Again.
It's another Neil Simon libretto from a show called Promises, Promises.
What do you get when you fall in love? A guy with a pin to burst your bubble. That's what you get for all your trouble. I'll never fall in love again. I'll never fall in love again. What do you get when you kiss a girl? You get enough chance to catch pneumonia. After you do, she'll never phone you. I'll never fall in love again. Oh, I'll never fall in love again. Don't tell me what it's all about, 'cause I've been there and I'm glad I'm out. Out of those chains that bind you. That is why I'm here to remind you. What do you get when you give your heart? You get it all broken up and battered. That's what you get, a heart that's shattered. I'll never fall in love again. Oh, I'll never fall in love again. Out of those chains that bind you, that is why I'm here to remind you. What do you get when you fall? You only get lies and pain and sorrow. So for at least until tomorrow, I'll again. I'll never fall in love again.
In your description of the atmosphere that this takes place, I'm reminded of someone from my generation, I'm sure, is reminded of the Dick Van Dyke Show and the way the writers and Carl Reiner and Dick Van Dyke.
Well, Carl Reiner was one of those guys in the room. So he invented a sitcom that was based on his life while he wrote for Sid Caesar. And he played Sid Caesar. He played Alan Brady with all the toupees, if you remember.
Yeah.
But Buddy and Rob and Sally were basically the boiled-down version of the writer's room for your show of shows. And Mel Brooks produced a movie called My Favorite Year, in which Joe Bologna played King Kaiser. And that was based on Sid Caesar. And Bill Macy, who played the husband on Maude, was one of the writers in there. And they had... You know, they had their own little writer's room. So each one of these people kind of looked back on their life and said, you know, I owe it all to when I was in my 20s and 30s and I wrote for Sid in the 50s. So it's great that we get all these versions. This one is the most exact as far as the room itself. It's not just three actors, you know, playing the nine writers or whatever. It's the whole kit and caboodle, and it's chaos. They all, as Sid assembled them, and they all have their own purpose kind of to be there. You have the woman's point of view. You have the political guy. You have the guy who's really urbane and witty. You have the guy who'll do anything for a laugh. You have the outrageous guy who will light fire to your desk. And they all together come together, and with their different point of views and with their different specialties, kind of throw it all into one table. They collaborated in a way they never did again as long as they lived. And they said you have to kind of be young and be open and be able to, you know, accept the other guys. It's a lot like improvisation. You have to say yes to what somebody else is giving you.
Absolutely. Amy, are you the only female in the cast?
No, there's actually a second female in the cast, but that's Helen. She's a
secretary.
For the Max Prince character, but she's the only writer in the room. And, you know, holding her own against these gentlemen is a feat unto itself.
And does that speak to the time period set in 1953 where most people think she wouldn't have been there?
Absolutely. I do think so. I think like so much of the world, just the reality of the world, women didn't do a lot of jobs. So for her to be present in this circumstance and have it be true is pretty cool. And although Lucille Callan isn't a household name, certainly, she did go on to work quite a bit. She reinvented her life actually a couple of times, but never stopped writing. And later in her life, I want to say 6 or 8 books, she actually became a novelist. And that's where her writing came from. And people inadvertently who don't know her from her comedic writing really do talk about her books, exploring character and circumstance. And it's interesting to know about her history and think about the critique of her books and what people find it in her books, because they have nothing to do with quote-unquote comedy per se.
Right. All right. Well, we have time to get one more piece of music in before the break. And this one is from MASH, I understand, right?
Right. Larry Gelbart was the head writer for the TV show of MASH, and the theme was called Suicide is Painless. Not a very funny title, but we all remember the show and Larry Gelbart's wit.
We will take that and then a short break and be back with more of Conducting Conversations with Ocean State Theater.
Through early morning fog I see visions of the things to be,
the pains that are withheld for me. I realize and I can see that suicide is painless. It brings on many changes, and I can take or leave it if I please. The game of life is hard to play. Gonna lose it anyway. The losing card I'll someday lay. So this is all I have to say. Suicide is painless.
Suicide
brings on many changes.
Changes,
and I can take or leave it if I please.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with Ocean State Theater's Amy Turner and Fred Sullivan, who will be starring in Laughter on the 23rd Floor, opening this Wednesday and Thursday for previews, and opening night Friday night, running for a few weeks. And Amy, if people would like to get tickets, they can always do that by going to the website, right?
Yeah, it's very clever. It's oceanstatetheater.org, O-R-G. Of course, if they like the a little bit more of a personal touch, they can give us a call, 401-921-6800. Our box office opens every day at noon. Or I always encourage people to come on down and, you know, find the building and come in and talk to us in person, just on the bottom of Jefferson Boulevard there.
Right at the end of Jefferson Boulevard, down by the Greenwood Inn, if you're looking for Rhode Island directions, where the Verizon building used to be, for more Rhode Island directions.
Or right? The Paul Bailey Ford.
Right.
Folks know that, too. Across from the old Sunbelt place. That's the latest one I've heard.
Right, or where the thrift bakery used to be.
Right. Nowadays, you can plug in 1245 Jefferson Boulevard into your phone, and it'll just tell you.
Right. Yeah, you don't
it'll just take
anymore.
You there. Poof, all of a sudden, you're there.
Hate that. No more dog on the corner in the directions. You know, we've been talking about Sid Caesar and the writers and so forth, and I'm wondering if back in the day when this started, there was no history for something like this. There was no, well, this is the way so-and-so did it.
Not at all.
Because they were breaking ground.
And it was an hour and a half every week for 39 weeks of live variety, sketches, musical numbers, every single week. They had Sunday off. The show was on Saturday night. They took one day off to be with their families, and then they came in Monday morning, and they wrote a brand new show, an hour and a half, and it almost killed them, especially Sid, because he had to be out there in front of the live cameras. So it really took its toll on him. But
I think that key to interrupt you is live, and yes. That's not something we see anymore. And in the early days, they almost had to do it that way. But just to be under the pressure and under the gun of having that hour and a half.
Well, the closest I think we have is Saturday Night Live. And I think that you hear about the pressures of that and the time constraints and how exhausting it is. But they have a new quote-unquote star every week, and they have a huge ensemble cast. So you take that, but you put it all on one man's shoulders,
right?
Kind of literally, and that's just ridiculous. They, you know, I mean, if you really think about it, you know, you write a show on Monday and Tuesday, you send it out on Wednesday, you know, you got to get the cameras, you got to get the sets, you got to get the costumes, you know, they were creating this, inventing this.
And it was routines. It wasn't just stand-up monologue. It wasn't talking like you might see Jay Leno do and just talking about
sketches with beginning, middle, and ends.
Absolutely.
That had they would, you know, they talk about the verisimilitude of creating an entire world. If they did a silent movie, it looked exactly like a silent movie. All of the touches, all of the period costumes, all of everything. Mm-hmm. If they were doing a musketeer sketch or a caveman sketch, everything had to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And he was a real stickler for everything to be top-notch. He, you know, spent a lot of his own money. He cared deeply about it. And this is kind of a study on the cost of that, you know, of trying to make something perfect once a week for 39 weeks.
So Neil Simon's trying to capture what it might have been like to be in that room for those 5 days or 6 days getting ready for the show.
Absolutely. That's exactly what he's doing. And I know, like, on my personal time machine list, I would like to be at the Globe when Hamlet opens. You know, I would like to be on the Sermon of the Mount or in the room when the a Declaration of Independence is signed, but I'd really like to be on the 11th and 12th floor in New York. He took those two numbers and added them together, but they were on the 11th and 12th floor in New York City to write your show of shows, you know, and just watch those people go at each other with aggression and great humor
and love brilliance. And brilliance, yeah.
And brilliance. And speaking of brilliance, trying to keep the music going, we're going to a Mel Brooks themed piece next. Is that a good way to put it?
Absolutely. Look, Mel Brooks had some ridiculously enormous successes in his career, and I think one is absolutely Blazing Saddles. And, you know, you really do get a taste of Mel Brooks both in this play, but this movie is an outcome of everything that makes him brilliant, and so we brought you the theme.
His name. Yes, Bart was his name. He rode a blazing saddle. He wore a shining star. His job to offer battle to bad men near and far. He conquered fear and he conquered hate. He turned dark night into day. He made
Blazing Saddles, I'm sure, will bring back a lot of memories for a lot of people about some of the great Mel Brooks movies and things they've seen. Talk about an interesting life story. There's a guy that has a very interesting life story. If you ever have a chance to catch that HBO special on Mel Brooks, it's he talks a lot about Sid Caesar in the early days and so forth and so on. Other people in the show, Amy, there's you, there's Fred.
There is. I'm very excited. Both Fred and I will be making our Ocean State Theater debuts in this show.
That's right. You haven't appeared there yet, except for every night to introduce the audience.
Yes, I do try and be present. But and actually, we mentioned Tyler Fish. People remember him from our production of The Full Monty. And he actually was one of our proteans when we opened Theater by the Sea in 2007. It's thrilling to have him back. And his new bride, Erin Romero Fish, is the other female in the show. She's been in several productions, including The Full Monty as well. But, you know, I think folks are going to be excited to see J.P. Ferragamo, Jean-Pierre Ferragamo, mm-hmm. back. He was our Pseudolus. He's done, I think, six shows with us. Let's see, Matt DeSilva. We found him, and he was in Les Mis. He was also in Miracle on 34th Street. Adorable young man. Playing the Neil Simon-esque character, the narrator, if you will. Mark Cartier plays my character's sort of counterpart, a wonderful Russian immigrant, Val, who's the head writer on the show. And Mark actually did our Neil Simon piece, Fools. He helped us open the theater a year ago and has been back. But just a delightful, delightful guy. Did I forget?
Tommy. Is Ira.
Yes. So, Tommy, this will be great fun. Tommy Labaneris was our Marius in Les Mis. So people have seen this angst and vocal prowess. And now he actually plays the equivalent of the Mel Brooks role. And Tom Andrew. Yep, right. Tom Andrew is the lone Irishman, the lone
goy,
if you will, of the group of people. Certainly not in real life, but on stage. But he actually was also in our 9 to 5, and we're thrilled. He came all the way from California to be mm-hmm. with us.
And boy, are his arms tired.
Boy, are his arms tired.
Well, we're going to get to another piece of music and remind people about, talk about remembering things that are fun to remember. The movie A Mad, 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 Mad World, which starred everybody, as you mentioned, Fred, everybody that was anybody.
Everybody
right?
who has ever made anybody laugh, including the Three Stooges as the firemen.
Here we go.
It's a mad, mad, mad.
Since we're on this great run of remembering music from funny episodes of movies or television shows, probably one of the all-time great television shows, All in the Family, right?
Right. And the head writer for the Sid Caesar show was Mel Tolkien, who was born in the Ukraine and had a thick accent, but he joined up with Norman Lear to write some of the greatest half-hour memorable, revolutionary television ever, which was All in the Family, starring Carol O'Connor and the late Gene Stapleton, who we just lost.
All right. We'll go out of this segment listening to that, and then we'll be back with more of the Ocean State Theater. We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Amy Turner and Fred Sullivan, both appearing in Ocean State Theater Company's production of Laughter on the 23rd floor, which opens on Wednesday and Thursday for previews, and then opening night on Friday and continues for a few weeks. And Amy, it's a small world after all, right?
It is, yeah. Well, you know, I think that one of the things that's interesting about this brand new theater company and this theater building that we have is we really are trying to fill a void. That's kind of the word that we've been using. There's great arts organizations in this state. We just did two concerts, one of which we brought back our Jean Valjean, Dr. Fred Scheff, and he brought in some friends and some students, and it dawned on me that it really was a unique performance opportunity for these students of his. Many go to Rhode Island College, and the week before, we did a concert where we brought our, what we called our kid alumni. We've done eight shows that have had children in them, and we invited all of those kids back. We ended up with 28 kids. We did about 35 songs. And again, it dawned on me that this was as much about those kids being able to have this opportunity to perform. But it's interesting because I think you just never know how you're going to inspire kids. And some of them grow up to be brilliant doctors, and some of them grow up to be very good actors. And we have.
I walked into the rehearsal hall thinking that I wouldn't know anybody in the room. And I actually knew two people. And one, the oldest member of our cast, and certainly the most talented, was Mark Cartier, who I used to watch at the Boston Shakespeare Company when I was in high school, and found him very inspiring. And then the youngest member of our cast is the guy playing Neil Simon, Matt DeSilva, who I all of a sudden looked into the eyes of and realized that he had played Winthrop when I played Harold Hill in The Music Man, which was one of our biggest hits of all time, at Trinity Rep 16 years ago. So I hadn't seen him.
16 years.
Yeah, 16 years. And there we were in the same room. And it helped start a chain reaction of these people have bonded in such a way in such a short time that it seems like we've been acting together for years and years.
Absolutely. I'm sure there's always a thread running from, I did this with you and you with that, and
well, it is the loveliness of theater as a professional that there is a thread that goes through. And, you know, we were talking about Rob Reiner and Carl Reiner and how there's the connection with All in the Family. And, you know, there really is this beautiful thread. But I think that that's what's lovely about the audience also participating in theater is that they can see their own inspirations come true, and that they can see familiar faces playing diverse characters, and I think that it's kind of lovely for everyone, and that to me is the exciting part of live theater.
Sure. Now in the room, I'm going to call it the room because I haven't seen the set yet, but in the room where the writers are writing, I know myself that when I'm putting things together, sometimes we'll work for 4, 5, 6, 10, 20 hours and then look at each other and say, that's not funny. Let's start again. is there any of that, or is it one hit joke after another?
Well, there's some that fall right to the floor. In fact, I think twice in the play, my character decides that something isn't funny and reacts in an appropriate manner. Sid Caesar used to actually shoot jokes out of the air. If he didn't like them, he would pull out a mime, a machine gun, shooting down the joke.
If it was a real stinker, right? Never to be seen again.
Right, the face that you'd see on Johnny Carson when he'd do something that just died. You know, it was part of the fun of the whole thing when it was that way. All right, let's get to the next piece of music on our hit parade here, which is the theme from The Love Boat. And how does this tie in?
Well, I think it ties in a couple of ways.
It's not a noted comedy, by the way.
No, but when you think about how many stars, semi-stars, superstars participated in this revolving door of entertainment, I mean, is there anyone really who didn't go on to The Love Boat? And the head writer for The Love Boat, sort of the driving force behind that, was one of the writers in Sid Caesar. And you know, as silly as it was, they all had a beginning, middle, and end. Like, you can still see the craft of what they were trying to do, even if it was for everybody. But I mean, just everybody was on The Love Boat, right? I mean, every single person who was working in the business or had in the past 20 years ended up making some ridiculous cameo.
And mostly, like everything in the 70s, the theme song is really fun.
All right, here we go.
Exciting and new, come aboard, we're expecting you, and love, life's sweetest reward, let it flow, it floats back to you. An open smile on a friendly shore. It's love, it's love, yeah, the love boat. Soon we'll be making another run. The love boat promises something for everyone. Set a course for adventure, your mind on a new road, man. Yeah.
it's an open smile on a friendly shore.
Once again, we come to the close of another hour, and thank you for bringing some great music along with you and a lot of memories. But most of all, thank you for bringing Fred and introducing him to our audience. I'm sure a lot of people in the greater Rhode Island area, specifically, that are Trinity fans have seen you, as you mentioned, 110 performances or 110 shows. That's amazing. So good luck on this one.
Thank you so much.
Hope it all goes well. It was a pleasure meeting you.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
And Amy, this will run until February
16th.
16th. And then there'll be things after that.
You know, there's so much going on, and we're really trying to bring a diversity. You know, we have our Family Fun Fest, Linda Peck, A Circus of One, Howie Became a Pirate. There's a couple of others on down the road. Of course, we go from this to this amazing celebration of the music of the 30s and the 40s, the all-night strut, and then getting a little more serious with this gorgeous play, The Diary of Anne Frank, and then, as you mentioned before, closing with the tap dancing musical of all time, 42nd Street. We'll be announcing our summer programming very quickly, and we have information on our Camp OSTC, our summer camps as well, on our website. So, you know, there's a lot going on. We have a few surprises, a couple of concerts that we're getting ready to announce. So, you know, check out that website and like us on Facebook, and keep track of what's going on, because there's a lot happening.
Absolutely. OceanStateTheater.org or call the phone number
921-6800.
There you go. Thanks, Amy. And this last piece of music is going to be, I guess...
Mel Brooks, Get Smart.
Mel Brooks was the most outrageous writer in the room.
Good night, everyone. We'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.